Father, we just thank you as we come to your word that, Lord, you want to enlighten us and bring revelation to us, that, Lord, all of us will be changed through the hearing of your word, that we might go and do what you enlighten us with now. So, Lord, will you use your word to bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into the message, I just really just wanted to give a word of explanation, and I'll ask you the question, are we celebrating Easter or are we celebrating Passover? It sounds like we've got an agreement here, but I need to explain that to us. And I read from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 29. This is Jesus who got together to celebrate the Passover. Remember, Jesus was Jewish, and he celebrated the festivals that God placed in, and he was celebrating. But he took it to the next step, and I read this. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and if we understand that, that was the unleavened bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Interesting, it says fruits of the vine, not the alcoholic, the fruits of the vine, the grape juice that God was actually talking about. But what it says here, Jesus was an observer of the Passover, and he took this to the next step that he was going to be the sacrificial lamb at Passover. Paul even again comes and brings us to the Greek Christians. He tells them too about the Passover, and in 1 Corinthians 11, which we read often, where he gives the instruction again of that we need to observe the Passover and remember the memorial of Jesus' death until he comes. So, did the early Christians celebrate Easter? We see in Scripture there's no reference actually to Easter. It is only a reference to Passover in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So, Scripture doesn't indicate that Easter needs to be celebrated. Now, you would say to me, but Mark, billions of Christians are actually celebrating Easter. I want to just say, possibly that's a tradition of men that has actually come in, that has filtered into the church, and it's not necessarily what should be done. We should be naming it differently. They seem to be carrying the same heart, but it shouldn't be celebrated as Easter, and I'll tell you why. Jesus never sanctioned Easter. It was never taught by the Christ's apostles, and the early church never celebrated Easter. So breaking of bread was given as a sacrament by our Lord to remember him and what he's completed. So this is not just for this day to celebrate the breaking of bread, but it's on a regular occasion, individually, with our families and with one another, that we remember the Lord. And I think that's what the Lord has left with us. We call it the sacrament of breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. We need to do regularly. But if we go and look at the roots behind Easter, we see that it was the worship of an ancient fertility goddess called Ishtar. And it's equivalent to the Ashtoreth that was in Israel during the Bible times, in the Old Testament times. So it was actually pagan worship. And we see the symbolism that we see out there today of the Easter egg is actually the fertility symbol associated with that goddess. So we need to be brought back to truth. And I really do believe we need to celebrate the Passover. What does that mean? God passed over human beings as he met out justice on the death of people for their sins. So Passover, God remembered firstborn, and the firstborn was saved over the families because of the shedding of the blood. And what is the firstborn today? We are the church, the firstborn of the church of the firstborn, and that's in Hebrews 12, 23. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. We are celebrating our Passover lamb today who paid the price for us. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So I just, by a word of explanation, I wanted us to understand that we have come together to celebrate the Passover lamb these 2 days as we've been set apart to remember our Lord. But today I want to share with you on a topic about Jesus and the cross and the criminals. And the theme of my message is, will you live if you die? And I'm going to be going to the text from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. And I'll be covering these 4 points: the sovereignty of God in saving sinners, the character of repentance unto salvation, the amazing power and willingness of Christ to save sinners, and today you will be with me in paradise. So let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 23, verse 32 to 43. You might have it on your cell phones, but let's try and read the word together. Thank you. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him, and when they came to the place that is called the Skull or Golgotha, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right side and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, that's the religious rulers, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who railed at him and saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, when we read the scripture, and I'm sure you've read it many times, but I want to just say, when we understand the salvation of men, this portion of scripture should be written in gold, because it's so important to understanding the salvation message of Jesus. Importantly, when we see at Golgotha, there were three people, three crosses there, and Jesus was in the center. The thieves were on the left and the right. Why wasn't Jesus on the right or on the left? It just seemed God ordained that Jesus will always be the center, that you can always turn to him to be the middle. But they were all sentenced, and they were all being executed by crucifixion. And if we understand crucifixion is not a quick death. It's not an electric chair. It's not a hanging. It takes a long time. Jesus died early. I think he died within 9 hours. And if I've been reading, we understand that he actually died of a broken heart. And it's a medical condition that I stand is prevalent because of the pain of the sin of the world. His heart collapsed and he died of a broken heart. The other criminals took longer. You normally take over 12 hours to die because you're trying to stretch yourself and breathe. So asphyxiation, you stop to breathe. You get so much poison into your body. That's how you die. It's a very painful way to die. So firstly, the sovereignty of God in saving sinners. So there was Jesus with two criminals on the cross. They were experiencing the same pain as Jesus was. They were hanging there together. It took, as I said, 6 to 9 hours before Jesus actually died. But yet one criminal came to the Lord, and he was hardened and unrepentant, and he was even at that time, he was cursing the Lord, and he wasn't seeing Jesus for who he was. But yet the other one saw something of a revelation there, and he repented, he believed, he cried out to God for mercy, and he was saved. And here we see that in this world, there's seemingly two types of people, those that will reject Christ, those that will curse him, and then those will actually turn to him and surrender and humble themselves before him. So here we learn the lesson is that not everyone humbles their hearts. People have hardened hearts, and you know, do I know why people have hardened hearts? I don't know, but I believe it's a choice. People choose to harden their hearts. But if we will choose to humble ourselves before the Lord, as we see the second criminal, he humbled his heart before the Lord, and he responded, and he found the living God. It's the same when a sermon is preached. Why do some people become so indifferent? One will hear exactly what God has said. The other will walk out and say, "That was a lot of nonsense." I don't know why. It's people's hearts. It's a choice in people's hearts. But we know that God is a great God, and he wants to reveal the truth to all mankind. I really truly believed God has not decreed for all man to be damned. When Jesus went to the cross, he died for everyone. And that's the message. That's the good news. No one is destined for damnation because Jesus took that damnation and condemnation on the cross. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, he says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, there is a responsibility of getting the gospel out for people to respond. That's another story. But God has not condemned anyone. Even in his sovereignty, God, in his greatness and the wonder of his wisdom, still puts our responsibility on us to make a freedom of choice. When the gospel is presented to us and when we eyes are opened, we still have the freedom of choice. None of you have been forced to be here this morning. You have made a choice to be here. People that are not coming to Christ have made a choice. There's a choice that is made. Maybe some are ignorant. That is a reality that they haven't heard the truth. But there's a choice, and God doesn't take that responsibility away from us. You see, the one thief was saved, the other wasn't. So we cannot presume that everyone is saved, because heart conditions are determined by individuals as they respond to the good news. Secondly, the character of repentance unto salvation. We cannot presume that in your dying breath that you can be saved. You know, often we'll say they just grasped air and they went to heaven. It seems very clear from this portion of Scripture that there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a recognition of wanting to receive forgiveness of sins. It seems very clear from this thing. A lot of people will say, well, in their dying breath, they confess Jesus Lord. But we need to ask the question, we don't know, did they truly repent to receive the forgiveness of sins? God is gracious and God is merciful, and he knows at the end of the day whose hearts have been surrendered to him. So let's examine the repentant thief's response. They both were in a place where they were caught up in their wickedness and found in their wickedness they were condemned. But here the second thief actually says to the other thief, don't you fear God since we're under the same sentence? He recognized a fear of God, and that's where true repentance actually starts. You start to fear God and recognize who God really is. Not only is he a loving heavenly Father, but he's also the judge, that he can judge us for our sins. And here the thief says, don't you fear God since we're under the same sentence. Then he acknowledges his own sin and he says, we are punished justly. We are getting what we deserve for our deeds. So he realized that he was a sinner. And that's a recognition that we got to do. And I think a lot of the people, the gospel that is preached today, people don't recognize their sin anymore. They recognize that, yeah, they're wrong and they need a savior. But there's not a recognition that we're a sinner. And sin separates us from God. And then he opened his confession to Christ. But he said about Christ, he has done nothing wrong. And then he responded to Jesus in that time and asking him to save him. He understand that Jesus was being crucified and he was suffering with him. But he said to him in Luke chapter 23, verse 42, in the King James Version, it says, now then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So he responded to the Lord. He declared his belief in him and in his kingdom. And he made this humble prayer as he cried out on that cross. Now I can imagine that. This thief was nailed to the cross just as much as Jesus was. His hands were nailed to and his feet. And he could do nothing, but in that lifting himself up and breathing, he responded through prayer. The only thing he could actually do, surrender his heart, and he could surrender to and speak to Jesus through prayer. He made a prayer. And what did God do? God actually responded to him as he opened up his life to him. You see, this criminal became humble before God and responded to him in prayer. And he asked Jesus to remember him, and the Lord did remember him. Now, I find it incredible that Jesus, even in that place of incredible sorrow and incredible pain, even in that time, had time for that thief. Isn't that incredible? One was cursing him, the other one was responding to him, and he, even in that time, he could take his breath and he could respond to this thief. And you see, Jesus is never too busy for you. He is always, even in the weakest point of his life here on earth, he responded to this thief. And that was the incredible thing, is that God loves man and will always love them. Thirdly, the amazing power and willingness of Christ to save sinners. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come through God to him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. Jesus is always the Savior. He will never deny himself, and he's always still there to save, and he will never give up on anyone. He will continue to save. As he saved that repentant thief, he saved him on that day. We heard this petition, and God responded to that prayer. So when we come with a humble heart and we call on God's mercy, Jesus will always respond to us. Isn't that incredible, this grace of God, that he will not look for works, but he looked for a heart that was looking towards him. You see, what did the thief have to offer at that time? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He had no good works. He knew he was a sinner. He couldn't get off that cross. He couldn't get down and even bow before the Lord. He could do absolutely nothing. And he came with a humble heart, and he surrendered to the Lord, and God actually met him. And the Lord never demanded any works. He never demanded any works. All that was there, he responded to Christ. And what has happened? He received the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that incredible that he received the assurance of the forgiveness of sins? Now, I want to just say is that, as I said earlier, we forget that when we come to Christ, that we need the forgiveness of sins. And I'm concerned is that the gospel that's being preached out there at this time, that people don't see their sin as an issue, and they don't see the forgiveness of their sins as an issue. Because a lot of the times, people are still walking with a warped understanding that they haven't been forgiven. And when we know that we are forgiven, that's when we start to walk in absolute victory. You know, we don't have to measure our sin and see how bad we are, but we really need to know that we have sinned and that God has forgiven us. And you need to know that in your heart. You see, forgiveness sets us free from our past. Forgiveness sets us free that we can take hold of what God has got for us. We see in the Old Testament and the rituals that God put in place to get to a place of forgiveness. And here, God makes it so easy when we respond with a humble heart before him to allow him to forgive us. I just know from my personal life is that time I gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't know this issue of sin, but as I've grown in the Lord, the Holy Spirit has actually revealed to me the washing and the cleansing through the blood of Jesus to a place of absolute forgiveness. None of us are perfect, but you know that I know that I'm forgiven. Now, many people are still walking today with this issue of brokenness because they've never known they've been forgiven. All of us have done wrong. All of us have said wrong words. All of us have done wrong things. But if we continue to hold on to those things, they will destroy us. But if we come and allow the Lord to wash us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is our sin, that we might be free again today. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will always respond to us and bring us to a place of healing and forgiveness in him. I just want you to note this repentant, humble heart of this thief. He didn't go through the waters of baptism. He wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. He didn't even share in the Lord's table, but he came into God's kingdom. Incredible as he responded to the Lord. So we need to stand in this finished work that what Jesus has done on the cross, that we can share in what he has for us. And then fourthly, it says, yeah, today you will be with me in paradise. In Luke 23:43, he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's an important thing that we need to understand, that when we die, what is actually happening. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says here, we are confident, yes, we are pleased, rather that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, we did a funeral service for the late Sally Porter, who a wonderful testimony of grace, and just to see what God did. And I remember Colleen, if you don't mind, just sharing, Colleen was there at her death, where she went and passed on to be with the Lord. And there was such peace. And you know what it was? Her spirit was the breath. It caught me. Her breath left and went to be with the Lord. So she was, body was there, but she was absent, because we are spirit beings, and she went to be with the Lord. And we rejoice as we celebrated on Tuesday for her life, that she's with the Lord. And I want to just say to you today is that when you die, that you're a breath, and your body will remain behind, because this is destined for decay. But your spirit and your soul will go to be with the Lord forever. And you need to know that assurance that we will all die. We will all die physically, every single one, and you've got to be prepared for that. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you know, a lady down our road where we lived suddenly died yesterday. Suddenly died. We don't even know why. It was a heart attack. He was in a late 60s, but still just suddenly was fit and strong and died. Are we ready for death? We've got to be ready for our death. But are we ready also to live life? See, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he gave us the promise of eternal life. And here he said to the thief, you will be with me in paradise. And what is paradise? And my understanding of this in Luke 23, he says, as Jesus said in Luke 23, 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he breathed his last, he went into the presence of God. He went into heaven. And if Jesus went into heaven, that's where we will go to. And I really believe there's no season of suspense. There's no place of purgatory. There's no place between death and the state of reward. We immediately, our breath leaves our body. We go to be with our Lord forever. And we need to have that assurance in going forward. But then I also want to talk about a death that needs to take place as we live for Christ, as we confess him as our Lord and Savior. In Galatians 2:20-21, Paul talks about another crucifixion, and we need to understand that needs to take place in our own lives. And I've said to you before, have you been to your own funeral? Because this is a death of yourself, of your flesh. And I read Galatians 2:20 to you. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Here Paul says we need to identify with our Lord who died on the cross. There's a sense that thief identified with Christ on the cross, and he died. That thief died with Christ, not at the same time, but we need to die with Christ because we need to know that our sins and our old life has been destroyed, that we can come into resurrection life. And Craig will be sharing a bit of more of that on Sunday about how to live this resurrection life and going forward in him. But we need to identify nearly 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus died for us, but we died in him, and we can rejoice in that. So, in conclusion, I want us to remember that there needs to be a repentant heart. There needs to be a humble heart before our Lord. We can't just say, okay, Lord, I'm dying and I'm with you. There's got to be something of coming to a place of recognizing the Lord of all and recognize him as Lord of your life, to come into a place to be part of his family. So I leave that with the good news that you and I do not have to get into heaven by works, but we have to call upon the name of our Lord. As that thief, no works, but called upon the Lord, recognizing the Lord for who he is. He went to be with the Lord, and so will we be to do that. So we're going to take time now to come to the Lord's table, and we're going to recognize again our death, and we're going to recognize our Lord, and we're going to celebrate and remember what the Lord has done for us. So I'm going to be reading from some scripture, and then we're going to break bread together and remember what our Lord has done for us. Again, I read from Matthew 26, verse 26 to 29. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink of it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Before we share in the Lord's table, I just want to just show you something here. When Jesus was celebrating the Passover, it was unleavened bread, so there was no sin in it, because that what the leavened bread was an indication of sin. and it was unleavened bread because that was God's command, that we would eat of unleavened bread. But I don't know if you've looked at matzos. I don't know if they intentionally did that for a baking process, but you see on there's lines and there's holes in the matzos, and that means Jesus was pierced for us, and by his stripes we are healed. So there's something of the representation of the unleavened bread, the sinless Lamb of God that's broken. When we take hold of this, what God has actually done for us, that by his stripes we are healed. So I want to say the table of the Lord is a place of healing. It's a place of new covenant, that he was pierced for us, that the blood could be shed. Why? That we can establish the new covenant. So when you, by faith, sharing of eating of the elements, remember that you're sharing in what Jesus has done for you. This is a finished work, and you might not feel anything, but rejoice in what God has done for you. So, Father, we thank you for these elements of the cup and the bread, the unleavened bread. We just thank you, Lord, that as we share in this today, may we come with repentant hearts. May we respond to you as the Lord of all. May we respond to your grace. May we respond to your mercy. May we see you for who you are, and Lord, may you see us. And may this coming to your table, Lord, if there's be sickness in our bodies, will you bring healing to our bodies, Lord? Where there be broken emotions and issues of our souls, Lord, will you bring healing there too? But then too, Lord, the inheritance that we have in you, this eternal life, Lord, will you open that up for every one of us as we share in with you this our personal commitment to you? We pray, Lord, this would just be an incredible encounter with you today. So, Lord, we come before you with humility. We come with a surrendered heart, and we come to share in what you've done for us. We remember you, and we give thanks to you now. Thank you, Lord. So I ask if you could come individually and come and get your cup and your matzos, the unleavened bread, and if you can just keep it, then we will share with it together. If you can come, there's a table at the back, and there's a table at the front here if you want to share in that. Thank you. Of course. Has everyone got the elements? Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, Lord, we bless this in your name. He gave it to his disciples, you are his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. Lord, we give you thanks for representing your blood. And the Lord said, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's drink and rejoice. Let's not rush, and let's just take time as we contemplate what the Lord has done for us, the message that he's shared with us today. And I'd like you to respond to your Lord, and not in thankfulness. Maybe today will be a day of a deeper consecration. Maybe today is a recommitment to him. Maybe today is just a day to love him more. But I want to just allow God, the Holy Spirit, to massage his message today into our hearts, that we would respond to him as he's responded to us, that you might know his love and that you would love him. This is the message of the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall be saved and not condemned. Take a moment to respond to the Lord. You know, we talk about New Year's resolutions, but I wanted to say this is a time of just surrendering all as we sang that song. God doesn't give us new starts, but he does refill us. We started with Jesus, but we continue in him. And maybe your walk has got cold. Maybe it's not vibrant. Maybe you've been distracted. Maybe your eyes have been focused on other things. I just want to bring you the good news that Jesus loves you. Respond to him in humility as that thief did. Don't run away from him. Don't harden your heart to him. He doesn't call you to be anything else rather than your son, his son and his daughter. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we learn that lesson from that repentant thief who acknowledged you and had a fear of you and asked you to remember him when you came into your kingdom. And Lord, we want to say thank you for our salvation now, that you are our Savior, that you have forgiven us, and that we belong to you. And Lord, where we've been wayward in our thinking, been wayward in our doing, where our hearts have been hardened to you, Lord, we come back to you. This is our time to come back to you. Even the folk on YouTube, as you're sharing this time with us, let's come back to Jesus. Let it be all about Jesus. Let's not be our work. Let's not be about our family, even though those things are important. But let it all be about Jesus. Let us be in a place that we will worship him again. That we will worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, if there be any wicked way in our outworking, Lord, will you forgive us now? And Father, as I've been reading scripture, I realize that sin defiles. And Lord, if there be sin in this house, and even those that are not here, I ask through the blood of Jesus, Lord, that you would cleanse and you would wash away all unrighteousness from your people. That, Lord, that we truly be able to stand before you with boldness as your redeemed, as your holy bride, that one that can bring a pure and an unblemished sacrifice before you. So Lord, we give you our hearts again, as you gave your all for us on that cross. Will you forgive us of our selfishness? Will you forgive us for putting trust in the wrong things rather than you? May you make us pure again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just really just sense is that, as Dieter led us in that song, we surrender all. Let's just surrender all again to Jesus. That means all. That means all your assets, all your liabilities, everything you have, that you don't hold on to anything but Jesus. He's the pearl of great price. And you sell everything, and that comes through surrender. The rich young ruler said he was obeying God, and God said to him, the Lord said to him, sell everything and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And he knew that because those things were holding him. And I just really just sense God wants to deal with us and get us to a place of total surrender to him. So Lord, as we just raise our hands to you with our hearts open wide, recognizing you as the Lord Jesus Christ, we surrender all to you. Our lives are not our own. We belong to you. We were bought with a price. And Lord, we're not going into paradise today, but we're going into this world to represent you. And Lord, may you shine brightly in and through us. May our families be different from today, because they belong to you. May we experience the wonder of your love and your peace, your joy, the outworking of your very presence. May we not conduct ourselves like the world, but truly we'll be a light on top of a hill, revealing you. So Lord, we come to you. Thank you for forgiving us our sin. Thank you for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we can belong to you. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I commit your children to you. Will you nurture them? Will you strengthen them? Will you teach them? Will you teach them Christ, Holy Spirit? Will you guide them into all truth? Will you protect them from the evil one? Will you help them not to be distracted by this world? And will you teach them to surrender their lives continually to you, and to live for your glory? I ask, Lord, will you bless them as they follow you? Take them into ministry, Lord, to share the gospel, to share the good news of you. Give every one of us opportunity in the days and the weeks ahead to share the good news of Jesus. for those who would come into our path, especially to our families, Lord. May we share the grace and the goodness of your love with them. So bless us now, Lord, as we go our separate ways. Thank you that we've been able to meet with you and to love you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Go in the peace of our Lord. Go and rejoice with him. Have a good, restful day. God bless you all. Thank you.